So the counter is running, huh? Okay, very good afternoon to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Huh? Today we got some issue with the battery. Huh? Then Man Yuan has to help buy the battery. Huh? Then luckily Brother Tim said no need to use battery, you got the charger. Huh? You can use the charging cable. Huh? That's why we managed to use the charging cable. So next time, no need to waste money on battery. Mm. Okay, so we can get ready for puja. Huh? Today is the 24th June 2018, Sunday, Wu Ping Ching Sa. So we will commence our puja for the lesson 77 of the Six Patriarch Platform Sutta. Let us now compose our mind, develop the faith. Sada, then virya, then mindfully we shall commence the puja. Namo Bhansi Sajya Moni Fo. Namo Bhansi Sajya Moni Fo. Namo Bhansi Sajya Moni Fo. Namo Quan Si Yin Pusa. Namo Quan Si Yin Pusa. Namo Quan Si Yin Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa, Namo Fo Pusa, Namo Fo Pusa. Arahang Sama Sambuddho Bhagava Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namasami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Sanghang Namami. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhassa. Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Dutiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Dutiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Dutiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Panati pata veramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Adina dana veramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Kamesu michachara veramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Musawada veramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Sura meraya maja pavadatana เวราบานิสิกขาปะดังสมาธิยามิสาธุสาธุสาธุปะดังปะเจมิดัมมังปะเจมิสังฆังปุจเจมิโอเคยูแคนบิสิตแล้วเลทอสเทิร์นทูเพจ1นะวีวิลรีไซด์เดอะโอเพนนิ่งเวิร์สฟอร์เดอะสูตราเวิร์สฟอร์โอเพนนิ่งเอะสูตราThe unsurpassed, profound, and wonderful Dhamma is difficult to encounter in hundreds of millions of aeons. I now see and hear it, receive and uphold it, and I vow to fathom the Tathagatas through me. Okay, then we were at page 385. Huh? Let's turn to page 385. The Sutta part. If you understand, then speak accordingly, function accordingly, practice accordingly, and act accordingly, and you will not stray from the basic of our school. Means this one is the six patriarchs school, six patriarchs Mahayana sect. So here the key word is if you understand. You remember all this what? I have been advising you all. You must meditate with what? Understanding. If you meditate without understanding, you are wasting your time. You need to understand what you do. If you don't have understanding, you are not going to get it right. And you are not going to do it properly. So that's why the sutta is very precise. If you understand, then only speak accordingly, function accordingly, practice or cultivate accordingly, and act accordingly, and you will not stray from the basic of our school, means the six patriarchs school. If someone asks you about a meaning, and the question is about existence, answer with non-existent. If you are asked about non-existent, answer with existent. Ask about the common life, answer with the holy life. Ask about the holy life, answer with the common life. Since in each case the two principles are interdependent, the meaning of the middle way will arise between them. If you answer every question with an opposite, you will not stray from the basic principle. So this part is the advice given. But it doesn't mean that you have to do that all the time. Here what Hui Ning is trying to advise the follower or the disciples is this duality is to be understood. So everything that the worldly people ask as question, you have to actually point out to them the duality. Then only they have the understanding to transcend duality. That is the message. Not every time you receive a question, you answer the duality part. No. You must have the condition to point out the duality. Explain the duality so that you know these two are duality created by thoughts, and words are just words. They are not the truth. They point towards the truth, but by itself, it is not the truth. So all this you will understand. Then six patriarchs says, suppose someone asks, what is darkness? You should answer, brightness is the cause. And darkness is the condition. So this is very good understanding. Because when you explain it in this way, then not only you point out duality, you point out the cause and effect. Yeah. Without the other one, the opposite will not exist. So here is very important. Brightness is the cause of darkness. That's why I say the Buddha mentioned, if this arise, that arise. It must mean sati idang hoti. So the meaning is, if you arise the concept of brightness, then it is the cause of the opposite duality, which is darkness. So darkness is the condition for brightness to arise. So the cause and effect, cause and effect. When there is no brightness, there is no darkness, because these are relative. Brightness reveals darkness, and darkness reveals brightness. Since opposites are interdependent, the principle of the middle way is established. So the principle is to transcend the duality. Answer every question that way, and in the future when you transmit the Dhamma, transmit it in the way I'm instructing you. Then you will not stray from the tradition of our school. Okay, we turn to the next page. Page 386. The commentary is very short. You answer every question in an opposite Dhamma, you will not deviate from the basic principle of the Southern Enlightenment school's teaching. So Huining's purpose of illuminating the Dhamma is to explain the duality created by the mundane mind. Then when you understand that these are duality created by the mundane mind, then you need to understand the true mind. That's why it takes you direct to the true mind. You can forget about the thought-based meditation created by the mundane mind. So straight away, when you are in the true mind, that's why he said, originally there was nothing. Where can the dust alight? So all this dust are duality created by the thought. So if you understand the true mind before the arising of thought, before the mundane mind create, there was nothing. That's why he said, originally there was nothing. So all this duality will cease to be. Okay, then we come to the next part of the sutta. In the 7th month of the year, how to pronounce this word? Zhen su ah. Se. Su or se? Zhen se. 7th month. 7th month is zhen se. Oh, sorry, of the year. What is this year? Zhen se. The first year of the Tai Chi and Yan Ho Rin. Oh, okay. Means AD 712. The master sent his disciple to Sing. What? Sing Zhao? Sing Zhou or what? Sing Zhou? Sing. Oh, Sing Zhou Guanzi. Okay, good. Sing Zhou. To build a pagoda called Guo En Si, yeah, correct, Xingzhou. Guo En Si. This is where the sixth patriarch was. He ordered them to hurry the work, and it was completed by the end of summer of the following year. I think the sixth patriarch knew he is about to parinibbana. During the cyclical year, Zhen Su. Zhen, what? The year Zhen what? Never mind, I just pronounce it as Zhen Su. The Rin was renamed twice. In the 5th month, it was changed from Tai Chi to Yan He. In the 7th month, the emperor abdicated in favor of his son, and in the 8 months the reign was renamed. How you all pronounce this in Mandarin? Xian Tian. You got a Mandarin name? Xian what? Rename. Never mind, I just pronounce it as Xian Tian. Xingzhou was the master's homeland. His disciple built a pagoda there so that the master's body might rest in it after his parinibbana, or his death. So this is the short commentaries. Then the next part of the sutta. On the first day of the 7 months, he gathered his disciple together and said, in the 8 months, I wish to leave this world. See, 1 month later. Those of you with doubt should ask about them soon, so that I may resolve them for you and put an end to your confusion. But when I am gone, there will be no one to teach you. Hearing this, Fahai and the others weep. Only Shen Hui was unmoved and did not cry. Shen Hui, you know, is the youngest, the last disciple. The master said, little master Shen Hui has attained to the equality of good and evil, means he has transcended the duality. He is not moved by blame or praise, and does not feel sadness or joy. None of the rest of you have attained that. All these years on the mountain, how have you been cultivating? Now you cry. Who are you worrying about? Are you worrying that I don't know where I'm going? I know where I'm going. If I didn't know, I wouldn't have been able to tell you about it in advance. No doubt you are crying because you don't know where I am going. But if you knew, you wouldn't need to cry. Originally, the Dhamma nature is not produced or extinguished. It does not come or go. That's why it's 不生不灭, not produced and not extinguish. Then we go on to commentary by Xuanhua. The great master rang the bell and beat the drum. The sound rang out, summoning all the disciples to his side. Pay attention, he said. In the 8 months of this year, I am going to leave this world. Then here he is again, Fahai number one. He didn't even list the name of the other disciple. He just said, Fahai and the others. They all weep. Their eyes ran with tears, and their nose ran with snow. Just like children who have lost their mother and have no milk to drink. Wow. They cried like babies. Some of them cried in secret. Some cried openly. And some fake tears, fearing it would be bad manner not to cry along with everyone else. There was both truth and falsehood in the situation. It was exactly like a play. This is Xuanhua's commentary. We just leave it. But the youngest of the baby did not cry, referring to Shen Hui. Was it because he was too young to understand or care what he was about to lose, his mother, or in this case his teacher? Was it that? No, Shen Hui was young in years, but old in wisdom. He understood the principle of not moving in any direction. Mencius was 40 years old before he reached that level, with an unmoving mind. Mencius is Mengzi, is it? Yeah? Kongzi, Mengzi, Mentions, huh? Is it? I think so, yeah. You all used to call him Mengzi, Mencius. So, according to Xuanhua, is it even Mencius, the great saying, he can only attain the stage of beyond duality, like what Shen Hui has realized only at the age of 40. With an unmoving mind, then he recites the poem. They praise, you are not pleased. They scold, you are not annoyed. They say you work hard, you are not moved. They say you are lazy. No matter what, you are not moved. However, when you are really being lazy and someone scolded you, you can't say, I have samadhi. He doesn't bother me at all. He must have a true unmoving mind, like that of Shen Hui. The sixth patriarch called Shen Hui Little Master. In the first 10 years after taking precept, one is called a little master or junior seated. From 10 to 20 years, one is middle seated. And from 20 to 30 years, one is senior seated. Little Master Shen Hui is better than all of you, the master said, because he doesn't have a discriminating mind. He has truly turned his consciousness into wisdom. So this is the enlightened being. Means there is no more discrimination, delusion. Shen Hui was not moved by praise or blame. That Dharma master does not cultivate. All he does is run after women. Criticism like that didn't bother him. He really works hard. Not only does he not sleep, he doesn't even lie down. And he only eats once a day. Such austerity. Praise like that didn't affect him either. If you don't react, then people can slander you, but it's as if nothing happened. You are a pig, they may say. Fine, you answer. I'm a pig, no problem. If you don't react, then they can praise you, and it doesn't matter either. You have both virtue and learning, means virtue and wisdom. They may say, but you pay no attention. If you are pleased when somebody praise you or praise your learning, then you really have no learning at all. You get angry when someone scolds you. You have been influenced by an outside state. To be unmoved by any state is to neither grasp nor reject, neither love nor hate. You can tell little master Shen Hui that he is good, but he will not be happy. You can call him he is bad, but he will not get angry. He has no thought of misery or delight. There truly is complete understanding of the middle way, rare indeed. You old ones, the master said. You middle one. None of you passes. None of you has outweighed the fire. When anger sets you ablaze, you should think, wait a minute, and then get angry. Then you wait and your anger disappears. That is called outwaiting the fire. If you don't wait, the fire burns. But if you can wait, it will die out. When steel is red hot, you can shape it into a vessel. But unless you wait for the fire to burn it red hot, you cannot mold the metal. You haven't outwaited the fire. You have been on the mountain for so many years, said the master. What have you been doing all this time? Oh. You hear that I'm going to complete the stillness, and you cry like a baby. You are all worthless. How have you been cultivating? By eating and sleeping. Are you upset because you think I don't know where I'm going? I will tell you something I do know. Of course I know. There is no reason for you to worry about me. I can take care of myself. No big, no small, no within or without. You cultivate, you understand. You make the arrangement yourself. So this is the simple poem. Okay, we go on to the next part of the sutta. All of you sit down and I will recite the verse called the True False Motion Stillness Verse. If you take it up and recite it, you will be of the same mind as I am. If you rely on it to cultivate, you will not stray from the true principle of the Southern School or Huining School. The assembly bowed and begged the master to recite the verse. So this verse, you listen, eh? The master said, there is nothing true in anything, so don't view anything as true. If you view anything as true, your view will be completely false. You can know what is true by yourself. Being apart from the false is the truth of the mind. When your own mind is not apart from the false and lacks the truth, then where is the truth? So this particular stanza or recitation is very, very simple, but very direct. That's why it's very profound. The true false motion, which is stillness. Then we go to the commentary. Now don't be nervous, the master said. Sit down and don't jump around. Don't cry right in front of me like that. Really, you are an undisciplined disciple. Listen to my words. It discusses the true and the false and the principle of motion and stillness. If you can understand it and hear it in mind, you won't deviate from the Southern school or Southern teaching. Turn the light around. This is Shenhua's way, said the master. Shine it inside at your own nature, Hui Guang Fan Zhao, and you can know the truth. To find your true mind is simple. It's simply to separate yourself from all the false forms and images of this world. If there is no truth within your own mind, where will you find truth? Truth is not apart from the self nature. Apart from the self nature, there is no truth. So this is a very direct way. The self nature takes you direct there. So whatever that is created is false. Dependent, originating, condition arising. Because dependent on condition, it arises. Cause and effect. So this saying is very useful. Okay, then we go to the next part of the sutta. Sentient beings understand motion. Insentient beings do not move. If you cultivate the work of non-movement like insentient beings, you will not move. If you seek the true non-movement, in movement there is non-movement. Non-movement is non-movement. But things without sentience lack the Buddha seed. fully able to discriminate among monks, but I'm moving in the primary meaning. But I'm moving in the primary, the meaning is the very act of viewing in this way itself is the function of true suchness. Means when you have wisdom, you can see things as they are. Without wisdom, you can't. Your mind will discriminate through your views, opinion, and conditioning. Then we go to Shenhua's commentary. Do not seek non-movement apart from movement, for it is just within movement that stillness can be found. All sentient beings move, but if you can still while remaining sentient, that is true non-movement. If as a sentient being you are able to clearly distinguish the mark of all Dhamma, not with your consciousness but with wisdom, you can give proof to the attainment of the substantive principle of your self nature and achieve the ultimate state, that is true proper non-movement. So these are all based on wisdom, understanding. When you understand, then everything is there. But when you don't understand, then you will create. So here what Huining is trying to say is within movement there is non-movement. Can you understand? Within movement there is non-movement. Can you understand this statement? Within movement, there is non-movement. Can you understand this? How many of you cannot? You better put up your hand, you cannot. You remember I used to share with you all a similar saying last time by Ajahn Jagaro. In the midst of stillness, in the midst of activity, there is stillness. This one is a better statement. Activity signifies movement. You understand? So it's about a cultivator. In the midst of activity, like I used to say, when I share, when I do a lot of this thing, this form of mind manifests. But the nature inside, what happened? Ru ru putong, unmoving. That's why in the midst of life, in the midst of activity, there is stillness within. Then within society, in the midst of sound, vibration and all those things, there is silence. When you don't create through the mundane mind, then there is silence. Understand? In the midst of sound and vibration, There is silence. That's why when you go out into society, everywhere is vibration, sound, like the traffic sound. The voice I spoke, the vibration of the fan, the aircon, everything. Whatever that you can come to perceive through your consciousness. In the midst of sound and vibration, there is silence. Silent means what? Silent means your silent mind, understand that? Your true mind, your true nature. So if you stay with that, then all this is creation. That's why duality and all those things, when you understand, it pertains to the mundane world, the conditioned world, the dependent originating world. When you understand the two aspects of the unconditioned and the conditioned, then you can understand the meaning of all these sayings. That's why a cultivator who have cultivated, they will understand. And this is possible. There is no contradiction. Contradiction comes from thought, comes from mind. When you use your mundane mind, your opinion, your idea, your views, to observe it, to rationalize and reason, then you say, how can it be? Movement is movement. How can movement be stillness? You understand? But stillness can perceive movement. Movement cannot perceive stillness. Do you understand? The awareness can be aware of thought. Thought cannot be aware of awareness. This is always the superior, the state that is beyond thought, beyond the conditioned world. That's why this one can perceive those things. That's why those who are enlightened, wise, they know within movement there is non-movement. Which means in the midst of activity there is stillness of mind. The true mind which is unmoving. That's why they call it ru-ru putong. Suchness. True suchness. No activity, no movement. So this is what Hui Ning is trying to teach them, share with them. So this part, you all by now should have the understanding. That's why of all the disciples, when they heard the pronouncement or proclamation, not proclamation, the announcement from six patriarchs, where Hui Ning told them in the 8 months, means one more month later, he will pass into stillness or he will realize Nibbana, Parinibbana. All of the disciples, even Fahai, they cried. They sob. Then like Shenhua say, tears just flows. Of course Shenhua at his own commentary said some are false crocodile tears, some are genuine. But there is one, the youngest, Shen Hui, the last disciple, the youngest. He didn't cry. He didn't show any expression of emotion or whatever. Means he has the understanding. Why must you cry? It's just because you think your teacher is passing away? That Master Hui Ning is passing away? That's why when you don't understand what Parinibbana is, You will be emotional. Then your thought will start to create project. Ayo, master no more. Who am I going to look forward to teach me, to guide me and all those things. So this thought will create emotion, sadness, unhappiness. Then it's like you miss him. And this is attachment. This is craving. This is delusion. So how should you view this type of thing? How should you view this type of thing as a cultivator? This is a very good question. A lot of people don't understand. What do you think? You sure feel it, isn't it? Anybody want to try? The mic is here. How will you perceive this thing? Let's say your teacher or somebody very dear to you about to pass away. How do you confront all this? This is wisdom, understanding. ER cultivator. How do you view all this? How do you confront all this? Anybody want to try? You must give it a try, otherwise how? You can never understand. And why you point finger here and there? let Alicia try. Very good. Sadhu.
Hello.
Yeah.
Brother Teo.
Yeah.
What the understanding to the bigger consciousness separate from the form and mind by Leo.
Correct. Very good. Sadhu. Anybody else? According to Alicia, it's just the consciousness going to separate from the mind. That is for normal people who die. The consciousness separate. But for the enlightened being, the cultivator, they will go into cessation. They will go into cessation. They call it parinibbana. Means they will go into the state of cessation. That exists. This is what Nibbana is all about. But then the whole process, there's a lot of things happening. So her understanding of form and mind is quite good. That's why she said it's just the form and mind separate. And that form and mind that separate is not you, understand not? Not your master, not your loved one. It's just a dependent originating form and mind. Karmically conditioned out. And this one, when it goes through cessation, it will cease. The true nature will cease. Then the form and mind can separate. So when you understand that there is no reality behind, there is no such thing as a teacher, as a master, as even Sakyamuni at that time. But the form and mind of Sakyamuni exists during that period. Do you understand? The segmented life exists. That's why your loved one segmented life exists. But what is it? The Buddha already taught you. It is impermanent. Goes the way of nature. Is condition arising, dependent originating. Not what you think. That's why it's only delusion when you grab and cling. There you give it an image. You understand? Then you give it a meaning. My teacher, my parents, my spouse, my children, my daughter, my siblings. Then it becomes like real to you, understand not? And this one comes from what? This one comes from your mundane mind that create. Then you give meaning, you attach, you cling, then you feel it, understand? The emotion arise. That's why they cry. What is there to cry? When my mother passed away, I never cried. When my father passed away, I never cried. I have gratitude. Straight away. I reflect, I have gratitude, and I thank them for what they have done for me. They are part of me, their condition. For they give me life, they give me love, they give me care. They attend to me, they provide for me, they sacrifice for me, they care for me. They were so concerned about my well-being and my life. And because of that, this nature has gratitude. It thanks them profusely. Yeah. They invoke power of merits for causes and conditions for their better well-being, their future birth, and all those things. Mm. So all this is understanding. When you understand, then there is joy. There is this gratitude. You can express your gratitude. Sometimes when you express your gratitude, tears can come out, understand? But this is not crying, understand? This is not lamenting, do you understand? That's how you can have gratitude. You can have tears. Because you recall the great affinity you have with your teacher, with your loved ones and all those things. Because of such affinity, this form and mind, even though unreal, not what people think. But it has its reality. Do you understand? Because existence has its own reality. That's why life itself has its own reality. Even though it's impermanent, empty, non-self, dependent originating condition arising. But there is such thing as existence, such thing as life, such thing as the form and mind which is subject to karma. There is such thing as the moment where you can experience and feel everything. And this form and mind that goes through life has its own reality, even though it's impermanent, not what you think. So it's exactly like the Diamond Sutra's advice that the fifth basic to winning. This mundane mind, five aggregate of form and mind, even though it's unreal, but you must know how to use it and yet not deceived by it. That is the meaning, the deep meaning. That's why when you can have that understanding, then all this become no more an issue. Then Shen Hui also, you will understand why he is unmoved. He didn't even cry. He just accept the reality. But you have to be careful, where the thought is very cunning. So a lot of people, they will try to cling onto the Dhamma, the knowledge. Then they say, hey, six patriarchs say like that, no, don't cry, no. So next time when your teacher pass away or what, you remember through your thought you project, I must not cry. So what you do? You try not to cry. Actually, you suppress all your emotion. This is not understanding. When you understand, there is no more sadness, understand? There is just joy. You should recall to mind the gratitude that you have towards your teacher, your guide. And also you thank your good karma for having affinity with them, for having learned from them, received so much guidance from them, blessing, protection, guidance. And in return, to express your gratitude, what must you do? The best way to thank your teacher is what? Cultivate the Buddha Dhamma. That is the highest gift, understand? Diligently cultivate the Buddha Dhamma. That's why that statement by the Buddha is very profound and very meaningful. That's why he told the monk, he who sees the Dhamma sees me. He is closer to me than to those who live around me and never see the Dhamma. Do you understand? Because the embodiment of the great beings, the Buddha, the teacher, are the perfection of the Buddha Dhamma, means wisdom and virtue born of realizing the Dhamma, understanding the Dhamma. So all this, the understanding will unfold. Then you will know. Then this gratitude, this joy, this whatever wholesomeness, they will just arise. But they know, not real. But within this unreality, there is this affinity of the form and mind that come together. That's why that gratitude can arise. That wholesomeness can arise. And this form of mind that is still in existence will know what to do. It will not have delusion. It will not be sad. It will not be like having emotion over what will happen after the teacher is gone. And that is attachment. That is delusion. Whatever that arises, like the Buddha said, there are causes and conditions behind. And whatever causes and conditions, when it comes to pass, it will cease to be. So just like the Buddha has constantly reminded the disciple, even his own son, when he passed away, he tells them the same. Whatever is of the nature to be born is of the nature to die. Whatever there is of the nature to arise is of the nature to pass away, to cease. So what has already arisen has already ceased. No amount of sorrow and lamentation can bring back the dead. So this must be the understanding. No point clinging, attached. But the reality is the form and mind parted, separate. Whatever affinity that you have with that form and mind, could be your son, your children, your sibling, or your spouse, or your teacher. It's just the affinity. And this is dependent originating, condition arising, empty, no reality. Yeah. But the form and mind that has the understanding can express its gratitude, yeah, its understanding. It can have joy and all those things. It will not behave like normal human being, with delusion, with attachment, with emotion and all those things. So Dhamma is to develop all this understanding. And this one has to be stable. Otherwise you will be afflicted, you will be affected. You cannot confront them. You cannot go about confronting them. You don't have enough wisdom, understanding. Okay? Yeah. What's the time now? Oh, still early, huh? 4:07. So far, any question regarding this passing away of a being? Anybody want to share your understanding or whatever? Apart from Alicia, anybody else? Nobody. Okay. Then we go on. That's why on the commentary part, page 391, Xianhua also said it very aptly. He said, do not seek non-movement apart from movement. That's why if you seek non-movement apart from movement, means you are being gullible. You are using the mundane mind to realize the super mundane cannot. So seeking the opposite of non-movement, which is stillness, you cannot seek outside of movement. For it is just within movement that stillness can be found. So the meaning is like what I explained. The cultivator with the understanding that is with the true mind, true nature, that one is still. That's why within movement there is stillness within. So in the midst of activity there is stillness. Okay, all sentient beings move, but you can be still while remaining as a sentient being. That is true non-movement. So now you understand, you can still with the stillness in the midst of life, if the form and mind connected, means you have the true understanding of non-movement. If as a sentient being you are able to clearly distinguish the marks of all Dhamma, like I mentioned, understand that they are just form and mind, not real, not what you think. Then there is no mark of self, no mark of living being, and all those things. So all this will free you. If you are able to clearly distinguish the marks of all Dhamma, not with your consciousness, but with your direct seeing or wisdom, you can give proof to the attainment of the substantive principle of your self nature. Means you must have realized your true mind and achieved the ultimate state that is true and proper non-movement. So this stillness must be within your nature. Otherwise you cannot have the understanding and you cannot manifest it. Then coming back to the sutta part, I tell you, student of the way, apply your mind with effort and take care. At the gate of the great vehicle, do not grasp the wisdom of birth and death. Yeah, so this is the sutta part. If there is response at these words, then let us discuss the Buddha's mean together, means middle way. If there is no response, join your hand together and make others glad. This is what rejoicing is all about. The basis of this school is non-contention. Contention is not the meaning of the way. For in grasping at the Dhamma door of contradiction and contention, the self nature enters birth and death. That's why you cannot attach, you cannot grasp, you cannot have delusion. So this is just the explanation by Huining. Then we go to the commentaries. You are face to face with the great vehicle Buddha Dhamma. Do not continue to grasp at your understanding which binds you up in birth and death. There's an attachment to Dhamma. At the kind of wisdom that is still attached to marks. If you can't understand what I am trying to tell you, then put your hands together to please living being. My school of sudden enlightenment is based on the cultivation of the patience of the unproduced Dhamma. There should be no debating, but you argue with others, you lost the meaning of the way. So debating or argument come from the egoic mind. When the ego is still around, it wants to be right. You understand? That's why you want to debate. You want to argue. You want to present your case. So, Xuanhua said, debating the thoughts of victory and defeat means you want to be right. You want to win. Stand in contradiction to the way. Giving rise to the four marked mind. How can samadhi be attained? If you insist on arguing, your self nature won't escape the revolving wheel, means the wheel of birth and death, giving rise to the mark of a self, others, living beings, and alive. That's why these are the four marks. You will certainly continue to undergo birth and death. So this one is quite easy to understand. Then the next part of the sutta is page 393. When the follower heard this verse, they understood its meaning and bow down before the master. They make up their mind to practice in accordance with the Dhamma and not to argue, knowing that the great master would not remain long in the world. The senior seated far high bowed again and asked, if the high master enters extinction or parinibbana, who will inherit the robe and the Dhamma? This one is a very important question. They all want to know. Because after Bodhidhamma, he said, the robe and the bat will not be passed down. So they want to know who inherit. Pahai never forget himself. No doubt he wanted the robe and bow for himself. That was Senhor's commentary. Huh? Then the sutta said, the master said, since the time I lecture on the Dhamma in the Ta Fan temple, transcription of my lecture has been circulated. Wow, that time they also transcribed his talk. Eh? But there were no tape recorder in it at that time. So not easy. Eh? They are to be called the Dhamma Jewel Platform Sutta. So this one is not only Liu Chu Tan Jing, Fa Bao, Fa Bao, Fa Bao, Fa Bao Tan Jing. Protect and transmit them in order to take humankind or human being across. If you speak according to them, you will be speaking the orthodox Dhamma. I will explain the Dhamma to you, but I will not transmit the rope, because your roots of faith are pure and ripe. You certainly have no doubt and are worthy of the great work. According to the meaning of the transmission verse of the first patriarch Bodhidharma, the rope should not be transmitted. That's why I already knew this, because the second patriarch received the message after the sixth patriarch, it shall not be transmitted. Well, by then, the Mahayana teaching would have taken roots very strongly. That's why Huining also knew. He said, I will explain the Dhamma to you, but I will not transmit the rope. Because your root of faith are pure and right, means you are ready. You certainly have no doubt and are worthy of the great work according to the meaning of the transmission verse of the first patriarch, Bodhidharma. The rope should not be transmitted. So his verse said, originally I came to this land. Now this one you should listen. Transmitting Dhamma, saving living beings. One flower opens five petals, and the fruit comes to bear of itself. So all this will spread. That's the reason why they believe after the sixth patriarch, if I'm not wrong, five petals means he got five divisions that help him to spread the teaching. Five petals he opened. Then we see the commentaries. Maybe Shen Hua will know more. The student didn't have tape recorder. As I have said. as we do nowadays. So they wrote down their notes with brush and ink and compare them among themselves. This is how they do up the transcript. They compare notes so that make sure nothing is left out. You should take good care of these lectures. The master said, they are Dhamma jewels, Fa Bao. Print and distribute them, and so take living being across. I know that you all believe in me, and you have faith. So I don't need to transmit the rope. Besides, the great master Bodhidharma said, that beginning with the sixth patriarch, the rope should not be transmitted. He said, I originally came to China in order to transmit the right Dhamma, means the true Dhamma, Zhenhua, and take across all those confused living beings. From me, this one flower, in the future, five petals will open. Here the five petal means the second, third, fourth, fifth, and sixth patriarch. And the fruit will come to bear of itself. That is, there will be no need to transmit the rope. Transmitting the Dhamma were serving. Means you have 5 patria after him, including the 6 patria, the 5 petals. So these 6, they have a lot of students. They have a lot of disciple or cultivator. So from there, the teaching will spread. This is why the 5th patria told the 6th patria, as the rope is a source of contention, do not transmit it. Should you continue to transmit it, your life will hang like a thread. Everybody wants to dominate the rope and the bud, so there will be a lot of fighting. The fruit comes to bear of itself. You should know that the fruit which ripes or ripen in this line is just all of you who have taken refuge with me. The first character of your Dhamma name is... Oh, they also use kwa. It means fruits and seeds. My generation after Xianhua also he used that one, no? Kuo. He said, change your middle name to Kuo. That is my refuge name. So instead of Zhang Jian Kun, I become Zhang Kuo Kun. So this is how it started. The first character of your Dhamma name should be Kuo. And it means fruits or result. So don't forget to ripen, means awaken. All of you should ripen right away. Most importantly, don't be lazy. Bodhidharma gave you all the prediction long ago. The 6th patriarch himself said, the Bodhi fruit accomplishes itself. They both knew that in the future there would be all of you disciple in America with the first name Kuo. See? This is the first one. First generation that he transmitted. That's why all of us are under that middle name Kuo. The fruit they spoke of is just all of you. That fruit is you. You are the fruit. The two are one. So this part is the message. From one flower, Bodhidharma, 5 petals comes to be. Then from there, no need to transmit the rope and the bud as a symbol of patriarchship. After that, the Dhamma will spread, and that is more important. What's the time now? Oh, okay, 8 more minutes. Maybe we stop here. Then you can have your meditation. Do you have any question regarding this? The most important message is about within movement there is non-movement. Just like what I shared with you all last time, in the midst of activity there can be stillness. In the midst of sound, vibration, there can be silence. So this is understanding of cultivation. You have to cultivate until that level of understanding. You can't reach those states, means you are still cultivating. You have not developed the realization. When you have developed the realization, you will have this ability to be in the state of stillness in the middle of activity. Then even in society, in life itself, in the midst of sound, vibration, your mind is always silent. There can be silent. Then the other one that is being taught today is mainly how to develop the understanding, the wisdom to confront death, or what they call the passing away of your loved ones, or your teacher, or somebody that is dear to you, close to you. Okay? Anybody got any question or anything you want to add or share on this topic? If you don't have, then you can have your meditation. I'll give you half an hour. You can off the light. You can slowly, mindfully come out of the meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, in inner mindfulness that you have developed for as long as you can. So the purpose of meditation in the former meditative state is to train this mind to stabilize it. Then after that, you can use it to meditate. You have to train until the mind enters a deep, in the state of stillness, vasati. When the mind enters a deep, means this mundane mind is already trained. You don't have to train it anymore. It's already stabilized. It's already aware all the time. So when this is the condition, then your meditation will become very different. You can maintain mindfulness or heedfulness in the midst of life. That's how you can be heedful in the midst of life. And you can maintain those states for as long as you can. Enlightenment in the here and the now is guaranteed as per the Buddha's Dhammapada saying, Dhammapada verse 21, 22, and 23. Okay, now we can open for the second session, which is meditation reporting, followed by whatever question you have. Anybody? The mic is there. Do you have any question, or do you want to report your meditation? Cannot be you got nothing to ask or nothing to report, isn't it? Otherwise, is there any topic that you all might want me to speak on or discuss? Anything? Anybody or any Dhamma that you want to understand? You must arise the condition. Pass the mic to Pamasuri.
Pratyu and Okayalamitas. I have a question here. From the fifth patriarch to the sixth patriarch, this mundane mind, we must know how to use it and not to be deceived. Does it mean that when we know how to use it, we use it to arise all the wholesome thoughts, and we use it to remember the particulars that we need to remember.
So your question is, what does he mean by use it? Is it?
We must know how to use it.
Yeah lah. What is your question? What is the meaning of how to use it? Isn't it?
Yes.
So that is your question, Okay, you off the thing. You see, this mundane mind, you have to understand that it is karmically conditioned for you to come to this world. And like I always say, it's a vehicle and a tool for you to use. So use it. So using it is very simple. So you have to understand. So the form and mind, form and mind, karmically conditioned. For you to come to this condition world. So you are talking about this mundane mind. Mundane mind. So this one is a tool for you to use. So the flip it has to use it and don't be deceived by it. So this one is the physical body, body, or the physical form. So this one is a vehicle to take you around and to arise a sense of consciousness. So this tool is for you to use. So use it. Because you have to understand, to live life, you need to arise the thought. Otherwise, you are like dead. You understand? Because you need thought to communicate. You need thought to perceive things. You need thought to arise words, concept, interpret things. And you need thought as a tool to use to live life. Yeah. So the user of thought is very important. Like I always say, how to use? It's just like a knife. How do you use it? You don't use it to harm yourself, hurt yourself, and hurt others, isn't it? True or not? That's why the advice of the Buddha is what? Huh? What are the advice of all Buddhas? Huh? The first aspect is what? That famous saying, verse 183, what is it? Sabba pamasa akarana. Avoid all evil. So that is how you use, understand or not? Like the knife. Don't use it to cut yourself, harm yourself, hurt yourself, and harm others. Means don't use it for evil purpose. That's why I learned how to use it and not be deceived by it and deluded by it. So use. It's a tool for you to use. So use. So if you want to use it properly, what must you do? The user of thought must be you have to respond. If you want to use it correctly and appropriately, what must you do? The user of thought must be. The problem is not the thought. The problem is the user. The user of thought must be what? So what you need to do? You need to develop wisdom. That's why you meditate to awaken. Then only you know how to use thought. Otherwise, I always say, before you have the understanding, your thought is most of the time wrong thought. Do you understand? You cannot arise right thought. Why? Because right according to you, which is not right according to nature's law. Law of nature, which is law of karma. So without wisdom, you don't know how to use it. That's why before enlightenment, when the wisdom is not connected to the form and mind, you are deluded. That's why you will attach, you will cling, you will hold, you will grasp. You will entangle yourself. That's why what you need to do is to cultivate. That's it. Develop the right view, the right understanding, the wisdom. When it's there, then the user of thought, which is the form and mind, with the wisdom connected, so that understanding will free the form and mind. That's how you use. And all of thought will be wise if you have the enlightenment. That's why you need wisdom, you need right view, you need right understanding. That's how the advice of the Buddha come about, right view with regards to law of karma. That's why you need to cultivate heedfulness, mindfulness, to be aware of evil. Then the four right effort to abandon evil, to prevent the arising of evil. Then the right effort to cultivate wholesomeness, goodness, which are not in you. So when you have the understanding of what constitutes right thought, that's why you have to cultivate what constitutes right thought. Then put it into practice or cultivate it. That's why the right effort to arise, the right thought, that are still not in you. That's why you have to study and understand what constitutes right thought. What constitutes right thought? What constitutes wrong thought, you know already there. What are wrong thought? Thought that condition your? If all this you cannot understand, you cannot cultivate, I tell you. You don't think that this is something you have to commit to memory only. You know? Actually, memory is no use. But initially, of course, you have to try to remember them. But you have to understand them so that it's automatic. It will come out from your understanding. What constitutes wrong thought? Thought that condition your? Evil root, your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your sorrow. So every time you are unhappy, the evil roots are there. You understand? These are wrong thoughts. Every time you have doubt, when you have fear, when you have insecurity, phobia, unhappiness, sorrow, these are all wrong thoughts. That's why you can be mindful of it. You can feel it. Then it cannot arise. Because the moment it arises, you're aware, then you can abandon it to the five ways. These are evil roots, root of all evil. That's why I was seeing this video, the show on the Astro channel. Of course, it's all about a high level police story, yeah, about Hong Kong. They are trying to attack Hong Kong and all those things. They are trying to cripple Hong Kong's financial market. They go after the stock market. Then they try to create terror through bombing the busy street of Hong Kong, the exchange centers and all those things. Then it involves high level all the syndicate people who wants the world to be at their command. So they go all out. It's like this, what they call underground people or the syndicate. They think they are so powerful that they can cripple all this financial center, like the way they bring down last time 911 and all those things. Then the police force also got a lot of very good police, but they got problem with all these gangster underground and all those things. In order to know what they are doing, the potential threat, they need to plan what they call underground cover, undercover police, understand? And this undercover police live a very dangerous life, a miserable life. So there was this very senior police officer who has gone through all those undercover things, then finally recruited back to the police force, and he got promoted up. But when he was in the undercover world, he did a lot of things, right and wrong both. Then he find it very dangerous as he get promoted, where people want to take revenge against him. Then he scared people expose him. That's why he killed all those people who is a threat to him and all those things. Then he got two sons, one adopted son and one true son. He want to train the true son so that he is like him or better than him later on. So when young, he teach them to be very, very, what they call, I don't use the word cruel, like very aggressive and like no feeling for anything. Then he got an adopted son, the elder one. So he every time tell the adopted son to whack the brother. Then the brother every time try to fight back, every time he cannot win, the father will torture him and tell him, oh, you can never be number two. Anything you want to do, you have to be number one and all those things. Survival to you. Until these two kids got phobia, were subject to a lot of psychological phobia and all those things. Then as they went through the training of the police force because of what the father did to them, very tough training and all those things, very high discipline expectation. They did very well as police officer. But later on, they got problem where they were also sent for undercover activity or all those things. Then finally, one of the son that went undercover activity, after he came out of it, then only he start to understand why the father did all those things to the two brothers. Then he went to prison to visit the father, where the father was finally caught and sent to prison. And he was still serving. Then when he see the father, where the father already get used to the anger and the hatred, and he know the son don't like him, hate him because of what he has done to them, but to him it's good for them. Then the father say, you are here to see me or you are here to get angry with me and all those things. Where he start to discuss with the father, he said, now I understand why you did all those things to me. Because after I went through undercover, I now came out, I am reinstated back into the police force. Then I went through all these international things. I knew there were so many of these dirty things in society and the police force. That's why he confronted the father and all those things. So the father asked him, no, what do you want? You want me to forgive you so that you can feel better? You know how the son answered or not? You know how the son answered or not? The son finally came out of it, you know, after he went and see somebody who understands the psychiatrist. Then this psychiatrist was very good. He explained to him, he said, because your father, the psychological memory or something, that's why you get yourself into all this. Then he recalled all the experience he had when he was undercover, where he confronted life and death, where he has to make very, very fast decisions within the moment. Then finally he realized he will not be free if he has fear like his father. Do you understand? Like his father. Fear that people come to know, expose him, so that he has to continue to kill. But this son learned something. He told the father, no, I'm not seeking forgiveness from you. I come to tell you, I forgive you. You know the big difference or not? I come to tell you, I forgive you. He told the father, when I forgive you, I remove this fear, this hatred, this negativity from my heart. And I got no more problem. That's why he want to advise the father, don't hold all these things in your heart. That's why these are evil, the root of all evil, make you evil. Dhamma is for you to understand what constitutes evil. And when you understand what constitutes evil, you can trace how evil roots make you evil. That's how you can see all these thoughts. Then you can come to understand like what I understand and share with you what are wrong thoughts. Well, these are never thought because people don't understand. They cannot go beyond greed, hatred and delusion. They can't even explain to you the whole feel or meaning of greed, hatred and delusion, the white meaning. Then how can you cultivate? You don't even know what constitutes evil, the deep meaning behind greed, hatred and delusion. Then from evil, how it conditions you into all those wrong thoughts, mind state. When you are evil, whatever you arise is all wrong thought. Thought that condition the evil root, fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation, your phobia, your insecurity, and all those things. That's why you hardly has any right thought. Then you have to ask yourself, what constitutes right thought? And then you ask yourself, as you go through life, how do you, through your mindfulness, observe what is right thought? Of course, you can say whatever that is not evil is right. But that doesn't help you, isn't it? You need to be specific. What is right thought? Thought that brings about what? Like Hui Ning teach you, what did he teach you? People ask you about wrong thought, you answer the opposite, which is what? Right thought. And you must have the Dhamma, the Sana. Otherwise, how can you teach? And what have I been telling you? Right thought are what? Thought that condition your? What are right thoughts also you don't know how to cultivate? What are right thoughts? What are right thoughts? Of course, the easiest one is to start from basic. Thoughts that are free of the evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion. Can follow? This is basic, isn't it? Wrong thought has the evil root, right thought don't have. Then I find out in life, just like I find out what constitutes wrong thought. When the evil root are there, it conditioned me to be like that. Then when I am kind to people, gentle to people, when I bring about love, compassion, kindness, goodness, when I have the sincerity, respect, contentment, all these don't have evil root, isn't it? True or not? This is what you're supposed to observe through mindfulness to see. Then write it down. These are right thoughts. Do I have them? Do I have contentment? Do I have sincerity, honesty? Am I kind? Am I gentle? Am I pleasant in my approach to life, my speech, my action? Am I generous? Am I kind? Am I virtuous? Am I able to bring about understanding and help people free their mind from suffering? Can my action and speech bring about harmony, love? This is what right thought is all about. Thought that condition love, harmony, understanding, respect, contentment, gratitude, sincerity, make you virtuous. That's why all of your kind, gentle, pleasant and virtuous thought, they are right thought without the evil roots. And you need to familiar with all this. Then only you can arise the right effort to cultivate them. How to speak gently, pleasantly. May I help you? Who are you? Where are you from? Yeah. Do you have any problem? Is there anything I can do to help you? This is gentleness, kindness, goodness. Then don't have negativity of mind to cheat people, to deceive people, to take advantage of people. So all this is what cultivation is all about. How to use this mind, this thought. That's why you don't want to find out what constitutes evil, what constitutes right thought, wholesome thought. Then how are you going to cultivate? Then right view, conditioning, right thought, right speech, right action, the four right effort, all, if you don't put it into practice and cultivate the noble eightfold path, you cannot be heedful. You cannot have the embodiment of the noble eightfold path factor to make you an Arya or enlightened being. So this is what Dhamma cultivation is all about. And there is so much things that you have to cultivate to develop all this noble eightfold path factor, the virtue, the kindness, the goodness, the understanding. It's not just about sitting and fantastic meditative mind state and hope to awaken one day. It's not just going to retreat in and out and wasting all your time doing all those things. If you understand what you are doing, then good. Then go and train. The retreat is meant for you to stabilize all this heedfulness, understanding. Then come out, noble eightfold path, in life, daily mindfulness. These are the real cultivation. That's why I always say, not until you can be mindful in the midst of life, continuous mindfulness, heedfulness, your meditation haven't started. It can only start after you have the ability to stabilize your daily mindfulness, until you can be aware in the midst of life to cultivate noble eightfold path. So this question is very important, very useful. Now you understand, huh? You can follow. That's why all those essential Dhamma that I taught you are very important. You have to reflect, contemplate, and go back and really develop it. Then after that, the Bodhisattva vow become very easy, because these are the things that you're supposed to have, right view. Life after life when you come, so that you can have this understanding to cultivate appropriately. Then you will straight away understand what the fifth Pathya is trying to tell Huining. This mind, which is the mundane mind, you have to learn how to use it and yet not be deceived by it, means not be deluded by it. Because this mundane mind creates duality, understand? This mundane mind is the source of all evil, good and bad. Because it's the forerunner of all things. That's why the phenomenal world is the world of consciousness, not real. If you are deluded by it, you will grasp, you will cling, you will hold, you will think that they are real. That's why you're supposed to insight into the phenomenal world, to realize their universal characteristics of impermanent, suffering state, empty nature, anatta nature, non-self nature. So all this is to develop wisdom, understanding, not to be deluded, not to be deceived, so that you see clearly. If it's impermanent, it's definitely empty. If it's impermanent, means it follows nature's law, dependent originating, condition arising, like the Buddha said. Whatever that arises, there are causes and conditions. It has to be this way. Cannot be otherwise. So if I want things my way, I suffer. Wanting things your way means attachment, craving, clinging, grasping, delusion. So all this become very, very clear to you. That's why you are not deceived anymore, not deluded. And you know form and mind is form and mind. It's a tool for you to come to this world to use. So use it. That's the meaning. And to use it, you have to understand what constitutes evil, what constitutes right thought, what are the evil roots, What are the essential Dhamma? And this one you have to reflect, contemplate until very, very clear, until you can put it into practice, cultivation. Then only you have the embodiment of the Noble Eightfold Path. You will have right view leading to right thought, right speech, right action, right livelihood. And the four right effort is constantly being cultivated, manifested. Then after that, you have samadhi. Then you will be ever mindful to cultivate all this. Then the way you live your life will be in accordance with Noble Eightfold Path. That's why you will have right livelihood, right living. So all the Noble Eightfold Path factor will fall into place. Then you have the embodiment of these noble qualities. That's how you become noble ones, enlightened one. Okay? So we all should rejoice with a good question. Let us do Padmasri. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. But understand it. Then after that, just do. Because this understanding is very important. Very important. Otherwise it becomes knowledge, you know. Every time you take it as Dhamma, take it as Dhamma, knowledge, then you try to remember that. Then every time repeat. When I ask question, you just know how to quote the answer. But you have not gone into it. If you have gone into it, you become different. You can express it, elaborate on it, and share. Of course, to share, you need to have very stable understanding yourself. You have to go through the reflection, the contemplation, the cultivation, and all those things. That one can come later. But at least the understanding of it, and then immediately put it into practice, cultivate it, that is most important. That's why the second turning of the Four Noble Truths, this Noble Eightfold Path, is to be? To be what? The second turning of the Fourth Noble Truth, this Noble Eightfold Path, is to be? Cultivated. Ayo, if this one also you cannot recall, you cannot practice or cultivate. Whereas the first Noble Truth of Dukkha is to be understood. Understanding it is enough. When I understand, it's enough. Then when I understand, I can put it into practice, cultivate. That's why Noble Eightfold Path is to be practiced, to be cultivated. Not as a knowledge or a understanding. No use. You cannot put it into cultivation so that you have the embodiment of the Noble Eightfold Path. It cannot lead to enlightenment. But the Buddha said, if you cultivate this Noble Eightfold Path, then only it will lead to the end of all suffering, which is the enlightenment in the here and the now. So if you don't cultivate, how can it happen? How can you have the embodiment of the Noble Eightfold Path quality? That's why the noble quality of noble ones. You can't. Whereas the Four Noble Truths, the first Noble Truth of Dukkha, you need to understand what it is enough. Because suffering cannot be cultivated, is it? Suffering arises when you are deluded. That's it. How can you cultivate suffering? You understand? Suffering is just suffering. When you are deluded, there is suffering. You only have to understand, feel it when it arises. That's why suffering is to be understood. This is wisdom. Like duality is to be understood, wisdom. Duality cannot be practiced like suffering. How can you practice not to suffer? Is there such practice? You have to understand what is suffering. Then when you go through life, when you experience that thing, you know this is suffering. That's why suffering is to be understood. Then the next thing to understand is the cause of suffering. What makes you miserable? What makes you afflicted? Craving, born of delusion, born of attachment, clinging, grasping. So when you understand the cause and you understand what is suffering, you will know how to manage your life. Then you zero in on the cultivation. If this is the cause, I need to develop the wisdom to be free from attachment, free from craving, born of delusion. I need to awaken to have the understanding, the wisdom connected. Then you work towards it. And how to do it? You have to realize this enlightenment through cultivating Noble Eightfold Path. That's why you go back to Noble Eightfold Path. And Noble Eightfold Path is where the whole teaching is. You have to start with right view, leading to right thought and all that. And then finally, when it comes to meditation, it's just mindfulness, awareness. That's why from there, Dhammapada verse 21, 22, 23 will teach you how to start. You need to be heedful, otherwise you are as if dead. So what is heedfulness? From there you start. Heedfulness got two parts, Dhammapada verse 23. Ever mindful to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path. Are you doing it? Are you able to be ever mindful? If not, then you are not cultivating, because you don't have the understanding. When you understand this is most important, because the Buddha said the heedless are as if dead. Heedfulness also you don't have, you become gullible. You say you meditate, you go retreat, you cultivate. What are you doing? You don't even know that you need, the first thing is heedfulness. And to be heedful, you have to be ever mindful. What is mindfulness also most Buddhists don't understand. Then how do they start? That's why they do all the wrong meditation, the thought-based meditation. They note, they focus, they concentrate. They go and do vipassana. Cultivate this, cultivate that, practice letting go. This is all delusion. But when you understand this thing, you cannot practice. Because this thing is to be understood. That's why you cultivate right view, understanding, straighten your view. Then you realize, I need to be heedful. Means I need to be ever mindful. So where do I start? I start by training my mundane mind to be aware first. Then I stabilize it until it's very stable, until it's ever mindful in the midst of life. Then only I can use it to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path. That's how your cultivation should go, one by one. That's why the moment you are ever mindful and you will start the cultivation of Noble Eightfold Path, combine these two, it becomes heedfulness. Then you are destined for enlightenment. The moment you are ever mindful to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path, all this will happen. Because without mindfulness, you are as if dead. You are heedless. And without mindful, you cannot be aware of the evil roots. And without the essential Dhamma, you cannot understand what constitutes evil, what constitutes right thought. All the Noble Eightfold Path factor, you cannot cultivate. You don't even know what constitutes right view. So all this you need to cultivate. You need to tell yourself, we are indeed so lucky, where we are in the sasana, where the teaching is still there, where you don't have to go and look for it somewhere else. When there is no more sasana, the Four Noble Truths disappear. Then how to cultivate? It's very difficult. It's like you don't have the prototype. You don't even know what this thing is. That's why I have gratitude, have joy, and thank your good nature, your good karma for having such condition. Then go all out to cultivate. See the importance of all these things. Okay? This is a revision, most important. That's why the emphasis has already been stated so many times. And it's becoming clearer and clearer. That's why I say just do. No more doubt. Go all out and just cultivate. then you will see the progress. That's why the first thing you have to do is daily mindfulness, stabilize it. Then after that, constantly cultivate no evil power in the midst of life. Constantly check your thought, whether you have right thought, right speech, right action or not. Whether the way you communicate is still the same old crude way or you have changed. That's why your character, your personality, your understanding all will be transformed, will change when you are on the right path. You become different. You have right view leading to right thought, right speech, right action. And the right view will make you wise. That's why less deluded, less ignorant, less mental activity. The first tooling of avijja paccaya sankhara weaken. That's how you become more aware, more mindful. Where you think less, you will have more silent awareness, peacefulness. Because a lot of things no need to think. Sankara anicchang, finish. Sankara dukkang, finish. Then sabbe dhamma anatta, finish. Then the moment, rupang anicchang, rupang anatta, straight away all of form, whether mental form or physical form or nature's form, they got no more power over you. But they are dependent originating, condition arising, impermanent, lead to suffering. And it's all not real, not non-self, empty. That's why straight away your mind transforms, becomes different. And this is how you cultivate, until it's so stable, until every recitation, the Dhamma is so clear, the understanding is so clear. Yeah. Then all the sutta, they come out, they are so clear. The meaning is so deep, so beautiful. And you can appreciate them with every moment of awareness, every moment of conscious mind. This is what the cultivation is all about. If you really go and develop it with this style of understanding, you will become enlightened very fast, in no time. Yeah. And it doesn't take time. The moment you understand, you awaken. The moment you understand, you awaken. But you need to have faith, sincerity, persevere, and just do. Cultivate. Okay? So any more question? You still got about 15 or 20 minutes. Does that answer your question? Okay. The moment you understand, you have to use it, put it to practice. But these are the cultivation part, which is the most important one. The rest are all just theory, dhamma, knowledge. You, of course, you have to understand it, then put it into practice. That's why the Buddha always say, he can only show you the way. You have to walk the path yourself. Cultivating Noble Eightfold Path is walking the path yourself, developing the path factor yourself. The Buddha has already, through his teaching, show you the way. That's it. Where he cannot make you enlightened. You have to realize the enlightenment yourself, the awakening yourself. Okay? Any more? Any more question or any more reporting of meditation while I have a drink? The mic to Alicia.
Hello, Brother Chu. actually, since May 11, or June, yeah. make use of this condition.
Ah, 可以, 可以.
Actually, 我是在观音佛气，我在 Cameron 的 experience actually.
Ah, very good.
Actually, 当我们在绕佛的时候，
yeah.
然后我就一直看出那个观音的像。
Ah.
然后我就绕佛，我 aware 到我的四周围。
Yeah.
可是我的心里面显现出来的观音，是我家里的观音。
Yeah, yeah, 没问题。
是我在想，然后有一句在那个经里面就讲，若人欲了知，三世一切佛，因观法界性，一切为心造。
That one very important. Very important. That is the Dhamma. That is the essential Dhamma. 你可以写它的话语字在吗？这个宣化 always speak about it. Who know how to write out the Mandarin? 他叫 Padma Suri 写着, you recite for her to write. That's why you have to write it down, then you understand. Otherwise, you recite without understanding. You repeat. The third phrase is last phrase is 一切为心造. Okay, read it out. The first line, what is it? I need to understand only the Mandarin word.
若人欲了知,
what is 若人?
就是我们
凡人. Is it the normal willing? 还没有开悟的人? No, no, 若人啊, what is 若人? No, no, no. The first line first. 若人欲了知. No, 若人 means what? Oh, okay. So this one is a general meaning of if. If a person understand, 欲了知, 若人. This is not 欲啊. Oh, it's not the one, yi liao zi means you want to understand. Okay, 三世一切佛. This one you understand, isn't it? Yeah, because it's from the Buddha nature, everything arises. Past, present, and future, or three periods of time. Then? Yeah. This one is contemplate, isn't it? You should contemplate the 法界 is all the Dhamma line. Yeah? You should contemplate all the Dhamma line. This one is what? Sing. Fajie, nature of Dhamma line. Nature of Dhamma Rai. I think this one is Dhamma Rai. Fa Jie is Dhamma Rai. Si Fa Jie. He always share the 10 Dhamma Rai. But the most powerful one is this. Yiqie Wei Xing Zao. Everything arises from the mind. That's why the 10 Dhamma Rai, they all started with mind. That's it. And living beings and the Buddha, the only difference is 意念之差. Yeah. 佛跟众生相差意念之差. And this is very important because it all started with a single thought of ignorance. That's why you fall and become living being, whirling. Whereas the Buddha, he has awakened and he returned to the source. That's why the first thought of ignorance that conditioned all this is the only difference. Without this first thought of ignorance, you will not fall until what you are. That's why at the source, the first thought that conditioned, the first thought of ignorance that fall, is the difference between the Buddha and the living being. So when you realize enlightenment, that nature sees, you realize the source, you go back to the source. That's why you become Buddha. You perfect the perfections. Yeah. And you have a nature that has that understanding of the source. Yeah. That's why you return to the source. Yeah. Or you realize the forcing, the Buddha nature, which is the oneness nature. So when that one manifests, is for you to recall the teaching. Everything arises from the mind. Mind make ade. Just like what Sakyamuni Buddha is trying to teach you. And this is a very powerful statement. When you understand this, this is what Bodhidharma told the monk too. When you cultivate, you start from basic. Kenpen, sing wei kenpen. That's why you have to start from this mind. That's why the fifth patriarch, when he reached that point in the Diamond Sutta, he told Hui Ning the same thing. This mind, he said, you must know how to use it and yet not be deceived by it. Because Hui Ning has the understanding already. That's why he has to teach him that part. And that part, cultivator don't understand. A lot of cultivator don't understand. Even enlightened being, sainthood way, they can't really understand. Only those who go the bodhisattva way, where they have to use this mind, because of the four basic vow of the bodhisattva, and they have to use this mind very often to cultivate, to perfect themselves, to bring about understanding. So all these are related to the teaching. So you zero back to the source, like what the Diamond Sutta say. The self nature is so amazing. All Dhamma arise from the self nature. And the self nature is already complete by itself because it was never born. Because it was never born, that's why it never died. It never get old, never get sick. So all this, the understanding is very clear. So everything arise from the mind is telling you that this mundane mind creates. That's why all of creation arise from there. Yeah. And all Dhamma, is never apart from that self nature. They arise from that self nature. That's why without mind, nothing arises. You are nobody, you are nothing. The five aggregate of form and mind, the mental aspect, that one is the thought, the mundane mind. When that one arises, karma arises. When that one arises, the condition will arise. Phenomena will arise. Because it's a world of consciousness. It's just the conscious mind aware of the phenomena world. Without the conscious mind, everything ceases to be. There is nothing. Then, how is it? Yeah.
好像他就是他的例子到就是要take care of那个mind不要给他偏去
That's how you cultivate. Because when you are at the forchi or the mayana retreat chanting, you must understand what you are doing. You are there to develop the chanting, to develop the spiritual faculty, the faith and all those things, and of course the Dhamma, when your spiritual faculties are there, they allow you to understand spiritual teaching. That's how through that chanting, you can become very mindful, your faith can become very strong, and all the Dhamma can arise, then you can awaken to them. Then you can cultivate them. That's why all the teachings are there. And the Mahayana teaching, especially the Pure Land, they went into it more detail. Because they have this sutta, like Wu Liang Shou Jing. Then they got all the, they also have this, what they call Wu Liang Yi Jing. So within the teaching, they will tell you with very clear understanding that everything living being do, they are karmic obstruction. They are obstruction to Dhamma cultivation. That's why they got these two very powerful words, suo zi zang. Everything that you think you know, which is knowledge, is an obstruction to awakening, to understanding. Then the other one is your worry, your fear, fan nao zang. Whenever you have fear, worry, anxiety, you have the evil roots. And it becomes an obstruction, root of all evil. They call it mental hindrance. It will hinder your mind from entering the meditative state. That's why it's a type of cultivation obstruction. Yes, nature. Because the relative from, the friend from China is coming. So all this, when you cultivate, you will develop the understanding, then you know what to do. Then you have to reflect, contemplate. Why did the sutta say, everything that I know is an obstruction, so zi zang. Then fan nao zang, you check, when you have fear, worry, anxiety, when you are not peaceful, is it an obstruction to meditation? All knowledge, is it an obstruction to meditation? So when you cultivate, as you go through, you will awaken. Because all these are duality. All these are knowledge, concept, words, memory. Understand? Knowledge is memory. And memory is your accumulation. Then your thought arises because of memory. Respond to memory, it arises. That's why don't go and store all the rubbish. Have space, clarity. Develop understanding. Don't go and cling, don't go and grasp, don't go and attach and hold. There is nothing for you to know. Just understand, finish. That's why don't try to retain in memory what you think you have understood. That is making you worse. But a lot of people try to retain them as memory. They scared they forgot. They thought they forgot means they don't have the wisdom already. Wisdom is not like that, not this way. Just like Guang Qing Lao San, what is wisdom? Sometimes the person, the form and mind that has the wisdom awakened, he also doesn't know. But when he encounters a situation, he will know what to do. That is real wisdom. That's why wisdom means understanding. You have means you have. It won't leave you. That form and mind that is connected, that life, it will always be there. It can never go away. So don't have to remember. And wisdom is an understanding. Spontaneously, the form and mind with the understanding will know how to act. It will not be afflicted. It will know what this thing is because the understanding is already there. So don't go and allow the thought to deceive you and keep on telling you, why I still like that? Why I still like that? Why these things still happen? This is all from the mundane mind, the conditioned arising mind, the thought. And this is delusion. That's why I forget about the thought. Just silent away from the direct seeing. From the silent mind, you should cultivate. That's why first is to be mindful, ever mindful. The moment you are ever mindful, you have reached the first hallmark of Huining's cultivation, Wu Nian, no thought. Then after that, through the direct seeing, keep on awakening, understanding, straighten your view. Then you will realize the second hallmark of his teaching, which is no mark. No mark of a self, no mark of living being, no mark of others, and no mark of Dhamma or life. So all this is very clear. Then after that, the last one is, your mind will be different. It will not dwell anywhere. There's like no dwelling. So once you have this understanding, your cultivation becomes so different. You cultivate at the level of Diamond Sutta. And the merits that arise is immeasurable, way beyond the sinhood way, way beyond the one that is within the mundane conditioned world. So all this understanding, they will fall into place, and finally, as you progress along the cultivation, especially those who go the Bodhisattva way, you will understand all this, and your cultivation become very different. Then you will not like normal people, greedy for merit, want to do this, want to do that, want to attend this, attend that. No more. You will accord and flow. God conditioned, things will manifest. Then maybe you will go and you will maybe do. But when there is no condition, just let things be, not what you think. Then everything become different. Then that nature will know how to accord and flow. That nature will know how to manifest on itself. No need anything. That I know, mundane mind to tell you all this type of funny thing. No more duality, nothing. The world is the world. Thing is just the way it is. It has to be such. That's how you will come to understand the suchness nature. Okay. Oh, we are almost time already. You got any more questions? If you don't have, then we should end, because it's only 2 or 3 minutes to 6. Okay, so let us rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. And let us recall to mind all of the wholesomeness that we have developed. And we will share and transfer all this wholesomeness to all beings. Starting with the devas. Akasata ca bumata devanaga mahindika punyantang anumoditwa cirang rakkhantu lokasasana itta watta camehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabbasampati siddhiya Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Ipyang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Ipmina punyang kamina mame bala samagamo. Satang samagamo hotu yava nivana patiya sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, let's pay respect to Kuan Yin Bodhisattva Sakyamuni and all the worthy ones. Then we end.